please download your free audiobook now. Choose from tens of thousands of different titles ranging from the newest releases to timeless classics. Go to the website audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow and sign up today.
From Jacksonville, Florida, I'm apparently Jefferson Ross.
From Knoxville, Tennessee, and suffering from a mild concussion from Jefferson Ross, I'm Zach Bowman.
From Long Beach, California, grateful to have not been with Jefferson Ross and Zach Bowman over the last week, I am Michelle Naranjo.
From the Roundabout Studios in Livonia, Michigan, I'm the Real Mud Monster.
I'm Eric Tritko.
I'm your host, Craig Cole, not Jefferson Ross.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, episode number 46, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like refuse technicians, we pick through the trash of the internet, compress it into usable chunks, and load it into iTunes. As we generate our web-based content, we find all kinds of different topics and news bites to include in the program, however unsavory or unsanitary they may be. Whatever's left over, well, we toss it in the mix anyway, because it's there, so we better use it. And boy, guys, we certainly have got a show prepared for you this week. Let me tell you, we've got just an all-star cast joining us. As we mentioned in the intro, we've got our very own Jefferson Ross.
Hello, hello.
How are things down in the Deep South, Jeff?
Usually hot, but it's raining today, so it's
only brutally hot.
Right. It's just hot and sticky.
Yes, yep. Yes. And Zach Bowman, you too are south of the Mason-Dixon line. What's going on in Knoxville?
Not too much. Things are a little bit cooler now. No rain, just cooler. So screw you, Florida.
Well, they had it coming, you know, being all sticking out into the Caribbean Sea. They're asking for trouble.
It's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, we got Michelle Naranjo from the California joining us as well, per usual.
Oh, that was such a nice trill there on
Naranjo.
Your Spanish accent. You've been working on that, haven't you?
See.
It's for Cookie.
Yes.
That's good enough for me.
So, Michelle, we're glad you could make it. Always a pleasure to have you. We've got a newbie on the show as well, Eric Tritko. I mean, Eric is joining us as well. Been here for God knows how many episodes, a lot.
Wait, we only invited him after that other
The less
Canadian.
Popular one.
Sorry.
Bowed out.
So sorry.
Bow wow. So Eric,
I'm driving a Z3.
Ew. Jefferson, behave.
Meow.
Now I ride a bicycle. You're
talking about the person who has an auto blog that doesn't talk about autos?
He sounds like Dr. Evil, apparently.
He hits the automotive.
The freaking lasers.
Lasers. Yes, that guy.
Eric Tritko, Rumble Strip. Always a pleasure to have you here.
Always good to be here.
You don't have to lie. And, of course, we've got our newest cast member joining us here today.
Or victim.
Yes, that too. You may know him on Twitter as Mud Monster, or pardon me, the Real Mud Monster, right?
Sure.
Somebody else beat you to the Mud Monster name?
Yeah, pretty much.
Why?
But how cute is he in real life?
Define cute.
No, he's cute.
His face is pretty symmetrical. He's got both eyes.
I know. See, Craig's a good person to establish this stuff.
Thank you. My esteem is just rising up as we speak.
He's going to spout. It's going to be like Old Faithful going off, but probably a lot less disappointing.
Yeah, a lot.
Well, Mud Monster, we're glad you could join us today.
Thank you very much.
Glad you could make it. And, of course, we got the Colonel himself.
I'll say.
Bushrod Pepperdine Slanders joining us in the control room, getting things off pretty early for roundabout time.
He's getting off in there?
Yeah, who knows what he's doing in there, Michelle?
The Colonel does whatever he wants.
He does whatever he pleases. But anyway, keeping things moving here before this gets any more uncomfortable. Oh, that's right. We have another character. Zach. Who did I already introduce?
Yes, nope. You did. You're
well, you get a special double introduction, my friend, because you have not been here for a month.
Bonus!
Woo! Double Jeopardy! Ding, ding, ding.
Those old jackets are getting to his head.
Yeah.
It's the formaldehyde, I think.
But anyway, the theme we got this week for our all-star lineup of stories is mixed messages, which that may have been, arguably, that little bit of confusion there.
It's usually what Craig gets from women.
Yep. Yeah, basically. Yep.
I thought they were
you
mixed.
Love
I thought
them
they
like
were
a
just
brother.
No.
Yeah,
they
were mostly the back of a hand to the face, which is not very.
I'd like to be your friend. Oh, I'll call you tomorrow then.
Yeah, exactly.
But Michelle, honey, you have our first story.
Honey.
Of the evening.
I do.
What is going on in Switzerland with a Swede, and why is it a mixed message?
Well, it's a bit strange. I mean, so here's this guy who was 37 years old, speeding in his new car. And he reached 180 miles per hour. But apparently the Swedes... No?
Apparently.
Oh, yeah.
We're weaning you off of that word, Michelle. You've got to stop suckling from the apparently tea. Okay?
Honey, you introduced me to the apparently tea.
Don't blame me.
And
I didn't invent the
it.
Word, Michelle. I'm sorry. Don't be...
Mom, Dad,
shoveling
stop fighting, please.
Please stop fighting over the teats and move on.
Daddy hit Mommy.
Craig is an apparently pusher.
He is. So this guy got a fine of $1 million for reaching
$1 million.
$1 million, and you have to put your pinky to your mouth when you say it.
Touching my teeth incisor,
because like the Swedish... Speeding fines are based on how much money you make,
isn't
which
that,
kind of makes sense to me.
It sounds very Marxist.
It sounds like
it,
I think
it is
in, Germany,
in a
too.
Way, but it's actually a way of
literally,
supposedly,
supposedly.
It's kind of a way of getting around a. Graded driver's license. The more car that you can drive.
Hello, Windows.
That was Mac, Ben.
Oh, yes.
It lives! It lives!
You only live in front of one a Mac, and you don't know the start of something. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
But this does make sense. I mean, like here, you get the people driving their S-classes getting the same ticket as people that drive Ford Focuses. I mean...
It's designed to punish it's punitive. It's designed to punish the wealthy the same amount it would punish the poor. If
right.
I were speeding 180 miles an hour, I would be slapped. Whatever.
Yeah, but most of the people in the U.S. who drive S-Class Mercedes actually have less money than people who drive Focuses.
Well, yeah, that's debatable.
Not really.
I don't know. Do you have
they may have more income,
that,
but doesn't
Eric,
mean they have more money.
I'm sorry.
They spend it on the gold chains they wear while in the S-Class.
And the dubs.
Exactly.
I mean, I am all for the people that make more money, save money, but Eric, seriously.
Come on.
Are you telling me that people that drive Mercedes of that caliber?
Calibra.
Well, that was different because that's an SLS AMG. But what I'm saying in general, having been a financial advisor for a number of years and having dealt with people with income levels from $20,000 to $450,000.
Financial advisor.
Yes.
Eric, when did you stop being a financial advisor?
I was licensed.
No, but when?
And so what? Basically, but what I'm saying is the people who made more money typically had a whole lot more debt and actually had less free cash flow than people who made less money. That was my
experience. Yeah, but those people that have more debt usually have the fancier cars.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean you can – just because you have more expensive things doesn't mean you have money. It just means that you're spending money. When you say you have money, that to me that means you have liquid money, either in investments or in banks.
So if you can afford this car that this guy was caught in,
awesome car.
It means that you have less money than somebody in a Focus, which means that you are as responsible for a car that has how many horsepower as opposed to a guy that is actually conservative, saves his money, and drives a Focus.
That's
and
a
is
lot
probably
of percents,
never
Michelle.
Going to reach that speed because he drives a less horsepower car.
No.
Michelle, you live Firefox. In L.A. You see all the people who drive crap they can't afford and live in houses they can't afford and live from credit card payment to credit card.
They've all lost it.
Well, exactly.
I mean,
but
isn't that the American dream?
Have it and lose it?
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe. But, okay, so a million-dollar fine,
Eric
Michelle.
Yeah, with Eric Fritzschuh as your financial advisor.
$1 million fine, according to the article here, which comes from what? What's the site? Slatetest.slate.com? That's a bizarre.
It's slate.com.
Slate. It's Slate.
300 days of fines at 3,600 Swiss francs a day, which equals $1 million. Who hey. Knew? But still, $1 million for speeding. Granted, is that a fair price, William, for doing a $1.80?
I'd maybe fine him $750 for $180.
$750,000.
Yeah,
that seems more reasonable. How?
Yeah,
just take his car.
Well,
and
if
make
he's
it
going like
$200,
then that's the million right there.
Well, if he's you know, we can solve this. He just gives his car to me. Done. That's it's fine. We're even now. But 3,600 Swiss francs a day. I think we might have to check with Mirko Reinhardt because I think they do this in Germany as well. But don't quote me on that. All right. And our next story, Mood Monster.
Yes.
I do believe you have this one.
Yes. This story.
What is going on here?
This story takes place in jolly old England.
Oh.
It looks like the Google Street Vans that capture all those lovely pictures of the roads and how people just get angry because their privacy is being violated and all that other stuff. Well, it looks like they got a picture of a girl lying face down on the side of the road. It looks the people thought pictures of this were shown on the internet. It looks like that residents contacted the search giant newspapers, television studios, because it's like, who is this girl? Why is she dead? But apparently... Oh, crap. Stop. Can't lose apparently.
Evidently.
Allegedly.
Supposedly.
Yeah. Can't say that.
I need a thesaurus next to me at this rate.
Smilingly.
Dinosaur. It's a habit I gotta kick.
So what's...
But she was really playing a prank. She was the girl Azura B.G. John...
That's so culturally sensitive of you.
Yeah, Mr. Culture right here.
Azura Bibijan.
Yeah, what you said.
Bibijan. What nationality is that, Michelle? You're quite well-traveled. Is that Armenian?
I think that she's probably North African.
Maybe Western Sahara.
No, probably Pied Noir, like Moroccan or Egyptian.
And what is it, the prefix or the suffix of the word that makes you think that? What is indicative of North African
descent? Just recognition of languages. Sorry.
That's good enough.
I feel sorry that she was named after a Hyundai.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, look at the name of the author, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I can't. Firefox
Sinuous
is not
Theunis. Theunis. Theunis.
I graduated from high school.
He looks
can't
like
you
Ryan
tell?
From The Office.
Can I just punch him down on the neck? Like, his parents named him Theunis.
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 Theunis Bates.
Rhymes with Theunis.
Theunis.
Yeah, so we can make fun of her name, but, you know, look at the author. Unless they didn't name him Master.
let's bring the intelligence of this podcast up, guys. Please, let's keep this out of the gutter.
We've gone below. We're just going lower and lower into this hole.
We're like Welsh coal miners, just digging deeper. Anyway... So she was playing dead, basically.
Yeah,
and she didn't even know the Google Street Stealer truck was there.
Right.
She wants to be one of those freeze mob people.
Yeah.
Is that what they do in London? They play dead?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean...
This is why I hate Top Gear.
you guys, Google Street Maps is like the weirdest thing. Like, when I was back in New Mexico, my step-aunt, I was talking about, like, Google Maps, and they have changed... the aerial view of my house. So I no longer have a trampoline in my backyard, which is kind of cool. They updated it.
Can't spell trampoline that
and way. My step aunt was like, oh, go look at my family portrait. And she gave me her street address in the Phoenix area. And honest to God, this I think I sent this to Jeff and Eric both. It is my niece, my nephew, my uncle, and their dog washing the family truck.
Oh, it's a sweet family, precious family moment, Michelle.
On the street view. It is pretty funny.
But not as funny as this lady laying in the street with her flip-flops kicked off.
But she's not a lady. She's like a little kid.
See, 10 years old.
She's a lady.
By some people's
standards, she's a young lady. Greg's estimation, that's a lady.
Oh, dear.
Old enough to...
No, that's enough, Jeff. You can stop right there.
We're done here.
Next story. Next story is Zach. You've got something that's quite a
mix.
I didn't do it this time. It's quite a mixed message here, Zach. What is Chrysler and what are they doing with PETA? What's going on here?
Okay, so hey, it's Jeff's favorite author. So. Supposedly, Chrysler rolled out a new series of ads for their year-end, you know, model clearance. And they had all these cars different lined up, and, you know, the guy, Michael C. Hall, comes out and does the voiceover and explains that, oh, all these cars are on sale, what could be better? And the little monkey walks out in an Elvis suit, or maybe it's an Evel Knievel suit, I don't know, pushes a plunger, and then confetti falls down. He's like, oh, right, a monkey in a suit, or something along those lines.
Oh, it just got better.
Right. So PETA gets all aggravated about that, and complains that, you know, there's a monkey in the shot,
which was computer generated anyhow, right?
Right. So they re-release the ad sans monkey, but just with the suit that walks out and pushes the plunger, which is pretty amusing to me.
But the monkey was so much better. Or chimpanzee, whatever it was.
Well, they even call it invisible monkey.
That's right. Oh, look, it's an invisible monkey, which is pretty funny, you know.
So were they just, like, sticking it to PETA then for being bitches?
It makes me wonder if PETA just has nothing really better to do during the day. Watch this commercial, it's like, oh, my God, a monkey! We gotta stop this right now!
A computer-generated monkey! Those bits and bites are being mistreated, represented.
PETA is the ACLU for animals.
Stupid CLU.
Don't go getting all NAACP on me, Jeffrey.
Jefferson.
In the words of Dr. Laura.
You lost me, Michelle, but
don't
danger,
worry.
Danger.
No, yeah, that would be because you'd have to be about current culture.
Hey, look at the shiny light.
Current culture is bankrupt, Michelle.
Ooh, light.
Is it okay? Here's the bigger debate: is it an Elvis costume or an Evel Knievel?
Evel Knievel.
I want to say Evel Knievel. Yeah.
Yeah. Evel Knievel.
Misjudged.
I thought Elvis at first because of the popped collar.
See, that's what I thought too.
Well, you guys were wrong. It's Evel Knievel.
But Elvis monkey doesn't make sense. Evel Knievel monkey. That's awesome.
Yeah. Evel Knievel.
Put that little monkey on a motorcycle and get him to jump the Grand Canyon.
You notice he's got the Dodge stripes on his shoulders.
Yes, he does.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's
really awesome.
Little miniature epaulets for him. He's like a little admiral.
You know, I'm going to have to give props here to the ad agency that's doing all the Chrysler Dodge stuff right now.
They're rocking
the sense of humor and responding to stuff. And
it's awesome.
It makes me really happy to see what they're going to be coming out with because it's very exciting. Starting with the George Washington.
That was so good.
Even the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the things that we make us. That's an awesome commercial.
Yeah. The one I don't get is the latest one, though, where there's like four different guys in the Chrysler minivan being chased by
the Grand Caravan.
Yeah, and they're putting directions into the sat nav or whatever, and it's like emergency room. Why? We're all going to need one. But it's all like
bachelor party.
You know, I think the longer tail of this is that this is more influential than those damn Kia hamsters.
Oh, I hated that commercial.
I liked those commercials.
It wasn't a bad commercial.
I think people like it immediately, but the longer tail of the humor that's running through all of the Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep stuff right now is going to be their saving grace. I absolutely love it.
It's so refreshing. It's like they grew a pair of balls and... Or just going out there and doing their thing.
Yeah,
as good as that is, though, it's still not as good as the Trunk Monkey.
Yes.
No, God.
From Saturday Night Live?
No. The Trunk Monkey.
No, I'm thinking of the Bathroom Monkey.
No. The Trunk Monkey was a series of commercials for a dealership, I believe, in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And there were like five or six of them. And they are, all you got to do is go to the YouTubes and Google Trunk Monkey, and you'll see them. And they are probably the funniest commercials car commercials you'll ever see.
Well, Zach, we've also got another little tidbit on this PETA story. I guess some Taiwanese folks made a little animation or something. What's that all about?
All right, so evidently there's a Chinese news outlet of some kind that renders big American stories in the news in computer generation and then tells the story. And it's typically pretty hilarious. Like, they've done it with Tiger Woods and, I think, Lindsay Lohan going to jail and stuff like that. And they did the same thing with the Dodge.
Animated, but funny.
Yeah, it's really bad, but really funny, yeah.
Yeah, so you can check that out in the show notes. We're not going to play it for you.
PETA 员工打电话给道奇，说用灵长类动物来卖车会导致虐待动物。道奇向 PETA 道歉，并同意不用猴子。
Do you want Chinese food?
Thanks, Ben. I'll have chicken.
Egg roll or sweet and sour chicken?
Oh, God.
Craig will have the cream of...
Sungum guy.
Cream of
wheat.
Cream of broccoli.
No, I only eat oatmeal. Thank you. It doesn't upset my stomach.
You only eat oatmeal?
Oatmeal.
There's not that much, then.
The Quaker is the only man that I trust to feed me. So anyway, check out the video. Hit the link in the show notes, roundaboutshow.com. Now, keeping our mixed messages theme alive, I've got our next two stories here. And the first one comes from our friend of the show here, Colin Bird. Ben? No,
go fix it in post.
Yeah, he's always.
Hey, that was good. I want to reuse that. Whatever that was.
Michelle was strangling her cat. Sounds like a parakeet. So anyway, the next combo of stories we got here deals with mixed messages from automotive symbols. And the story Colin Bird wrote here, we're getting it on Yahoo Autos. I believe it's coming from cars.com.
We're getting it on.
Yes.
But, yeah, but it was featured on Yahoo, which is really funny because, can I tell you a story about this?
Make it quick.
Actually, okay, I'll make it quick. So I was doing the Mingle Media show on Tuesday and had nothing to say. And my little
That's
daughter, who is growing into be quite the producer, IM'd me this article while I was doing the show. And then I talked about this article for like 20 minutes. Not realizing that Colin Bird wrote the article.
Crow. Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
That's
so, but the article basically is dealing with symbols, dashboard symbols in this case. I guess there was a study that came out, and 46% of drivers that were surveyed could not identify the low tire pressure idiot light on the dashboard, which, as most car enthusiasts know, is like the cross section of a tire.
It looks like your belly button has a problem.
I don't know what your belly button looks like, Michelle, but that
it looks something like the tire pressure warning.
You do know what my belly button looks like.
I think the Colonel's belly button looks like that.
After a surgery of some sort, like a
herniectomy,
heart transplant.
Perhaps. But so, yeah. It's the cross-section of a tire with an exclamation point. Hey, something's wrong. But 46% of drivers don't recognize
it. It's such
that.
An idiot light
the
that
tire's
everyone
round.
Must be an idiot because no one's got a clue.
Yeah. Huh?
The reason they call them idiot lights is because you have to be an idiot not to know, which I guess means everyone's an idiot.
A tire is round.
It's the cross-section.
But how are you going to show a flat tire in a round?
Well, then it would be a circle, wouldn't it?
Why can't you just have two words to say, or three words to say, low tire pressure?
Because then reading and driving,
that would be obvious. We want to confuse people with these symbols we do.
All right, but I forgot. We live in the IKEA flat pack nation, or IKEA flat pack world, where we can't have words for instructions. We can only have pictures.
Well, it's true.
It's
I mean,
way.
You're going to
like
laugh,
pictures.
Guys. But I had a friend who was a, wordologist. I don't know what you'd even call him. Who, when I was
Anne.
At school in New Mexico, was sent to the task of coming up with symbology that would mean something for people when they come upon nuclear waste in, like, thousands of years.
Okay, so 46% of drivers.
this does not meet any. I mean, this doesn't look like a tire.
Yes, it does. It's a cross section of a tire.
And no, yes, if you're an engineer, you're right. This makes perfect sense.
Or
I agree.
Not retarded. I mean, it's a crutch.
No! Exactly.
My grandmother would have no idea what this means.
Baloney. Yeah. Liverwurst.
She would think that's a belly button.
You gonna that take that, sense. Ben? I think Craig right? just called your grandmother a retard.
I know,
Girl,
right?
Be like, my belly button's fine.
Well, we'll get Florine on the horn one of these days, Ben, and we'll see what she says.
And my belly button's inflamed.
And there's this halo around my side.
Although I will have to agree with what Jonathan Brown said in the chat. Tire pressure sensor? That's a Colin Burr special topic?
Yeah. So, yeah, but it's terrifying. 46% of drivers don't know what that means. That's almost half. That's a lot of percents, Eric.
That's a lot of percents.
Cube sound effect.
But, Steven said he didn't like that sound effect, so I'm not playing it.
Does Steven produce the show? No.
Steven isn't here.
Wait, he doesn't like that sound effect? It's hilarious.
That's what he said on Twitter.
I don't like that sound effect, guys. Can you stop playing it, please?
And now he's never coming back on the show again.
Yes.
that or he'll just beat the crap out of you next time he sees you.
I'm going with the latter here.
In our iconography theme here for messages, the next rider story, if you will, comes courtesy of Jalopnik, Michelle's favorite website for everything auto-related. They've got a lineup of funny little pictures and some commentary about them. And the first one is a car vent. It's got, the little wheel you turn to shut the airflow off from the vents or to turn it on again. And the top is a box with an X through it. The bottom one are three wavy lines. And the caption is, it looks like one of those motivational posters. It says, this car has everything, email and bacon.
Because that's what I want in my next car, email and bacon.
In that order.
Yes.
No, because I want chocolate-covered deep-fried bacon.
Could you imagine that being dropping something like that in the air vent? No, thank you.
Be a good smell for a while, at least.
So, no, it wouldn't.
You should definitely.
If you like bacon, of course. That's the thing.
I like bacon, but trust me.
You get
bacon!
There are 21 of these humorous pictures, humorously captioned, and I'll just go over a couple of them real quick here. You can always hit the link in the show notes to read them yourself. But they've got an underhood sticker telling you to put the appropriate color of coolant in the car. Use the yellow coolant, not the orange coolant. And they're saying the misinterpretation could be, attention, read iBooks, but do not put orange Gatorade in urine storage tank. Because there's a little book showing the owner's manual with a little eye for information. Obviously, this means use the correct coolant. Another one of my favorites. This is a Ford key fob. It's number 11 on their list. It's the key fob with the lock on lock alarm and trunk button, and they've misinterpreted that to be purse may spontaneously break because of the lock symbol opening, red flying saucer beacon for the alarm, and then double trunk size. That was my favorite because it's got a 2X plus the trunk lid opening. Pretty humorous. And what? What's wrong, Jeff?
I was just going to say, one of my favorites of all time has been like the don't stick your hand near the fan blade or you'll lose fingers.
Yes. And they've got one of those here, except they've misinterpreted it a little differently. If you check this one out, Jeff, it's number 8 on the list.
Take a look, see.
What's
it's opening.
He's faxing it to himself right now, folks. And what's that misinterpretation?
Oh, yeah. No belt, no fan blades.
No drumming and no record spinning. Looks like drums and records. And that reminds me, this other one is hilarious, too. Whoops. It's got a hand with an X through it and then a fan blade, and they're misinterpreting that as no hands, boat propellers only. Because that's what it looks like, a boat propeller.
That makes sense, of course, because you take your oven root right in there.
Exactly. And the last but not least, my favorite, number 21 on the list, it's the child safety seat latch.
Put an anchor around their neck.
Exactly. It shows the baby with an anchor.
That's for safety.
Attach baby to anchor and throw overboard.
That sounds like an excellent idea.
When they're screaming and kicking you on the plane, sitting next to you, that's just what you want to do. Or bring the safety bag, put it over their heads. Right, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
Keep them quiet, keep them comfy. That's what I always
tune in next week and Roundabout describes pictures of your favorite cars.
Well,
we went from watching videos on an audio podcast to looking at pictures.
Zach
Which really blows me away.
Zach is against seeing things, apparently.
Yeah, welcome back, Zach. You missed something.
Next week, we'll draw for you.
And here I am drawing the line right here, and then I'm going down.
Michelle, what do you think this looks like?
It's
yeah,
called,
exactly. It's
like,
going to be live Etch-A-Sketch.
No Pictionary.
It's like an audiobook, guys. It's playing in your mind. Come on, Zach. Have you signed up for your audiobook account yet?
You're just not into it.
Zach, did you get your audiobook yet?
No, I didn't get my audiobook.
Of course not. You're not helping the cause to get a free f***ing audiobook.
Okay, that's like in a few more minutes. Can we go on to the next topic?
Yes, Jeff, what can you tell us about Jeep?
They like to mix messages.
How do they like to mix messages?
I have no clue how this fits the theme, but I like Jeep Wranglers, and now they look nicer.
How do they look nicer, Jeff?
Thanks to a new interior that features a cooler center stack. And I don't like the new three-spoke steering wheel that Chrysler's going with, but it does make the Jeep look better.
And see, this is a mixed message because you think Chrysler, you think Jeep, you think crappy interior. But now they're stepping up.
I think awesome off-roading.
I think crappy interior.
It's because you're a fanboy. That's why.
Exactly. Yeah, he's an Audi boy, so he wants the comfy, cushy stuff.
What do you think of Jeep, Zach? I mean, if someone says Jeep, you think crappy interior?
I typically think of the mid to late 90s Cherokee.
That's pretty dumpy, right?
Yeah,
you mean like the one I'm probably just about ready to buy?
Exactly.
That's the one.
That'll go anywhere with a 2-inch.
It will go anywhere
if the engine runs.
If it's the 4-liter.
It'll go anywhere as long as the transmission doesn't blow.
That's another story. So what did they do to the interior, Jeff?
It's much softer lines. I mean, more upscale. One of my favorite elements is the new the shift handle. It replaces like the clunky looking T handle and a dog dish with more of a that's what it looks like. And it's got a now gated shifter. And it's got little chrome accents all over the place. Just
a little sprinkle of chrome.
A little sprinkle of chrome, it's 2002.
Garnish. Yeah.
And they came up with some on the outside they have a monochrome color scheme now, so you can get a color-coded top. And it says the rear windows are bigger, but I don't notice that.
Yeah. The color, the top being the same color as the body makes a big difference. It really makes the thing look good.
It does. It's very sharp. I like it.
I don't like it in orange. I like it in the tan color they've showed.
The Sahara Desert color.
It's a desert sand mica.
Desert, whatever.
Whatever.
Well, that's another thing. They've come up with a slew of new colors, including bright white, cosmos blue, Sahara tan, detonator yellow, and deep cherry red.
Deep cherry red?
Yeah.
Is that what the orange is called? Is deep cherry red?
No, it's a totally red color.
Meow, Michelle. That's not.
No.
Right?
I'm sorry.
No, thanks, Michelle.
Now, you guys just calm down, Meow.
They haven't updated their website, though, because I went to go look at it yesterday.
Son of a biscuit-eating bulldog.
Well, it's Chrysler. I mean,
not that I have $32,000 to go buy a new one, but hey,
Is that how much they cost?
It's Sahara top-of-the-line one.
Mm.
That's probably a Rubicon, actually.
I think you were right. It was a Rubicon.
Nice upgrades for Chrysler.
The base two-door usually starts at, 21 or something.
I would get the four-door just because I want the extra wheelbase, but...
And you want two-wheel drive, we know.
No, actually, I could care less about the two-wheel
drive. You mean lame wheel drive.
Wrong wheel drive. What?
I saw
when people say that.
So many of those four doors, getting stuck in Baja last year.
Because they think just buying a Jeep Wrangler makes them have the instant skills to drive in Baja or something. You still have to know what you're doing.
Yeah, and they were just chasing. These people, all of them. They weren't even racing. They were just chasing.
Racing and chasing. They rhyme.
Well, speaking of racing, Eric, your next story has a little bit of a tie-in with racing.
It's right up your Craig. You're right up your alley, Craig. It's very racist.
It's right up your Craig.
It's right up your Craig.
That's a euphemism for something, I believe.
I sure want to get all up in that Craig.
Please,
up in here.
No.
Up in here. So what's going on? Racing, one of America's most hallowed strips of pavement. Eric?
Well, the paper that considers themselves the standard of excellence of the world, or, you know, the...
The newspaper of record.
The newspaper of record, yes. The Gray Lady.
Al Jazeera? Yeah.
The old Gray Lady, I think, is what he's referring to.
The old Gray Lady. The New York Times. The epitome of, you know, where Craig wants to work one day, because it's the... They hyphenate every other word because they take the AP in the AP style book and take it up a notch.
Eric, so sorry, spelling doesn't matter to you.
No, I spelled correctly. Thank you.
Spelling? Who needs spelling?
But in this case,
it's called a blog. They don't care.
Yeah,
but in this case, the
they should
a blog.
God damn it, Craig.
a 14-year-old, a 26-year-old living in their parents' basement out on a farm. Writing a blog could have done a better job than the New York Times on this one.
You're goddamn right, he could have.
Let's see, the 19th. So that was today.
So this is a story about the Dream Cruise.
This is a story about the Dream Cruise, and from the New York Times. It was so poorly researched, so poorly written that it would lead me to.
Did we have a rant section scheduled, Ben?
Well, no, I've tempered it.
I don't recall.
But let me just say,
If
I were to go on a full off rant, it would make a Zach Bowman story look like it belonged on Sesame Street. Okay.
Ding ding ding.
Whoops! I didn't mean to play that. I accidentally clicked.
So why is it poorly written and poorly researched and poorly done, Eric?
Well, this person who. I don't know if this is from the Detroit Bureau or someone from New York thinking they're in the Detroit Bureau.
That website, the Detroit Bureau?
Yes. But they're writing a story about the Woodward Dream Cruise and about how it's a pseudo-racist thing because it only happens in the suburbs. It doesn't involve anything Detroit. While it doesn't say it, it's the Detroit Dream Cruise. It's the Woodward Dream Cruise. Yet they somehow come up with the effect that it's racist because it's only in the suburbs. Now, anyone who has clue one about the Woodward, about cruising Woodward, knows cruising Woodward never happened in the city. Back in the 50s when it started, it was
Royal
out in the
Oak
burbs.
And Berkeley.
It started at 9 Mile in Ferndale and went up to Pontiac at 16 Mile. Why? Because it was full of drive-ins, because it was the suburbs, and there were very few stoplights, and it was dark in places, so you could race, you could cruise, you could do a lot of things. It wasn't the city.
Illicit things.
That's the well, there wasn't really illicit, but you could have fun, and it wasn't in the city. And it had, and at the time when it started, the population of Detroit was near 2 million people, and it was more white than it was black at the time. So it has nothing to do with racism. Yet if you read the story, you come away with the fact that this is a racist thing. And so I don't know how – well,
but it's a mixed message because Motown, the Motor City, we build all these cars, and then this world-famous cruise doesn't even take place in the city.
And it
historically
never did.
True,
and it never
yes.
did. It never did.
But layman may misinterpret that.
Well,
clearly they did here.
And people perpetrating ignorance like the New York Times here. Now, I will say I do have to give props. I haven't read all the comments in the last few hours, but the first 36 comments were all people from Detroit writing and basically calling this person an idiot that they didn't have a clue about what they were talking about. So I do have to give props for that. And, of course, one or two whiners who live in Royal Oak going, I hate the Dream Cruise because it screws up traffic. Well, how long has the Dream Cruise been going on and how long have you lived in Royal Oak? It's like buying a house near a racetrack. Well, I didn't know it was going to be this loud. It's a bleeping racetrack, you asshole.
Yeah, it's like living near.
Why
like,
didn't you bleep out asshole?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like living next to like a musical.
Because
like,
asshole you can say on FX after 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
so.
It's like
selective censoring.
It's like you're living next to like Pine Knob as I do. It's like, why is there loud music? Because there's a musical thing right there.
Exactly.
What is wrong with you?
And you can tell Mud Monster is a true Detroiter because he called it Pine Knob and not DTE.
So. Yes.
I didn't even know it was DTE until
it's now DTE. They changed
the
that
Energy
a few years.
Music Theater, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
I saw the Steve Miller Band there.
The only person agreeing with Eric right now in the chat room is Miradart, who, might I add, is a Canadian.
Go Canada.
Who was completely influenced by the anti-G8 summit. So,
Well, Eric, what did you do back in the day cruising?
Well, I didn't live in Detroit at the time, but we did have our own cruising strip back in the South Bends.
The Indianas.
The Indianas, yes.
That's very in the north of Indiana.
We cruised McKinley, US 20.
Roasted the tires up.
Yes, we did, on occasion. But when we went racing, we went off on the side roads and did it there. So
very nice.
And see, I always grew up thinking all the cruising was done on Gratiot.
Yeah, Gratiot and then Telegraph, too. There was some street.
Nothing's when I first on Telegraph, though.
Well, when I first came up here in 88, there was some decent racing off of Telegraph, or people would meet up on Telegraph and then go out. And
now it's just full of construction and stuff on Telegraph.
Telegraph is
orange
a cluster.
Beep.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how I came down here today. Telegraph's about ready to. Ugh.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
So anyways, the New York Times is an ignorant racist paper now.
No, you know what you're doing.
And on that steaming note, I think we can step off from here for a moment. Coming up after the break, we're going to get to a very special edition of Highway Hearsay with a guest, a very good fan of ours out on the West Coast, out in California, and he has an amazing story about his Pontiac G8 GXP, so you do not want to miss that. Stick around after these messages. But first, I would like to talk a little bit about Audible.com, more specifically audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Audiobooks may sound boring, but believe me, they are not. They come alive in your head. You're listening to these stories that are being narrated to you by professional voice actors. They're telling some of the most popular books that are out there. They've got classics. They've got historical novels. They've got bestsellers, science fiction, mystery, you name it. You can just about find it on audible.com. In fact, they've got more than 75,000 titles in their library right now. They are great to listen to in the car on long commutes. They're great to listen to if you're going on a road trip. They're just all around nice. You can listen to them before you go to bed at night. It's a very relaxing way to fall asleep. And we are giving you a very special opportunity right here, folks. Right, Ben? Do you hear the opportunity knocking?
Who's there?
It's Mr. Opportunity, to borrow that from the Honda commercial. He is telling you right now to go to audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. I'll say that again, folks. audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Sign up for a free audiobook today. Zach, I believe you have a pick of the week to highlight for us this week.
Sure. Predictably Irrational by Dan Ariely, narrated by Simon Jones.
Well, I believe that was my pick of the week. I'm just giving you a hard time, Zach.
Does it involve ghosts?
No, it does not. It involves being predictably irrational.
Does it involve ghosts still?
No, in fact, it does not. Okay, Audible pick of the week this week is called Predictably Irrational by Dan Ariely, narrated by Simon Jones, as you so competently previewed for us, Zach. This is a very interesting book about how people think and why they make certain decisions. And the author, Dan Ariely, goes into a variety of different experiments that he did and how group decisions can affect how people think. Very interesting. Did a number of different studies on the issue. One, for example, he's a professor, I believe, at MIT, and there's a local bar right near the school campus. And he went in there, asked the barkeeper if he could serve free samples of beer, small glasses, to patrons that came in. And he would record. He did it in different ways. He would read all of the options and then go around the table and see what people chose as their free sample. The other time he would go around, for instance, and have everybody write it down and take their order. And he found that people would pick beers. The first person would get the beer that they wanted. The second person would usually pick something different. And the third and fourth people around the table would gravitate towards something that hadn't been chosen yet, which may or may not have actually liked.
Well, they had to gravitate to something that hadn't been chosen because that wasn't an option anymore.
Well, no, you could still pick whatever you wanted. No. It's that they want, he believes, is because people wanted to reflect their individuality by choosing something different than the group. But that wasn't as big an issue when people wrote their choices down. So very interesting studies like that. Again, the title is Predictably Irrational by Dan Ariely. And that is one of the books you can sign up for and download for free, F-R-E-E, right now, by going to audiblepodcast.com/roundabout.
Free hat two E's.
We're looking that up. Mm-hmm. Oh, it does. What do you know?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. F-R-E-E.
So I'm just busting someone else's balls about spelling. And look who
Hi, this is the pot calling the kettle here.
Matt.
What is the pot calling who?
Hello, kettle. This is the pot.
What?
Oh. Oh, so Ben, you got a little scrambling for us there.
Well, let's see what we got. Let's see.
Well, let's listen to it, actually.
Let's see.
Let's crash the iMac.
That made me look like a crooked version of Spider-Man. Without the ability to participate in the same daily activities as my friends and family, I felt partially separated from society, and as a consequence started to observe the very activities that were once my daily routine,
observe
as if I were an outsider.
Seeing.
As if I had come from a different culture or planet, I started reflecting on the goals of different behaviors, mine and those of others.
Very nice. That is just a small... What's that, Eric?
This gives me the idea that I need to go back to grad school. Do you know why?
Because he talks with an English accent?
No, not at all. Because this guy probably got a grant to sit around at a bar and ask people, do you like this beer or do you like this beer? And it's like this other book, this other audiobook that I listened to called Soulcraft.
As Soulcraft.
Whatever. Anyways, and this guy talks about how he took all his PhD grant money and bought equipment to rebuild motorcycles in the basement of his apartment he was running in Chicago at the time.
So. Luxury.
Well, look what Peter Venkman did. He had a grant to, you know, shock a guy because he was getting the cards right.
So all this tells me is that I need to go to grad school because I can get money to do.
You get $65,000 to go back to grad school, open a personal business.
Exactly.
Government guide to free money, Eric.
Oh my God, Craig!
Can I walk
around? Get $25,000. Open the beauty salon right now.
He needs the question mark suit.
I'd say that's about.
I'm Andrew Lesko. Get your free government guide. Do you think $5,000 to go back to school, Mud Monster?
Yeah,
you can get it. Just get it in my book right now. Not available in audio format though. So yes, that was a little sample of Predictably Irrational by Dan Ariely, which is one of the many titles you can download from Audible.com. At the website, audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow, get your free book now. Zach, I suggest you get a free book as well. And
I'll
with
strongly suggest.
As in demand.
Tell you what, Colonel, you can strongly suggest all you want. Doesn't mean it's happening.
Well, we'll
it's
just mail you
free,
a box of unsavory
Zach.
Then. Anyway, with that, it is time for our blind spot story of the week.
Oh, wait, Craig. Wait a second.
False start.
Jonathan Brown's in the chat room, and he's having problems with the Audible URL. Imagine that.
We did a custom intro to last week's show just for him.
He did audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow.com. No. Won't take him anyway.
Drop the second .com. Good to go. Audiblepodcast.com.
He's trying to support us, you guys. He really is.
All right. And with that, folks, we can move in the garage. There's some good Black Lincoln right there. All right, guys. Three of us have been in a couple different cars here. Eric, we'll start out with you. Last week, I saw you, and you were driving a Cadillac SRX 2.8 Turbo.
That is correct, sir.
What'd you think of it?
It was an excellent automobile.
It's a sharp-looking car.
It's very good-looking. There's some very cool little details here, and styling details. Like, if you look in the...
My monster looks very disapproving.
No, I don't. I can't tell.
even in the headlights, there's some very subtle details in the headlights and stuff for styling cues. There's very just the angles on everything. It was a pretty well put together car, and I can say that on Michigan's bomb cratered roads, there's this particular road called Plank Road down in Milan, south of Ann Arbor, and it hasn't been repaved since it was first paved probably in the 50s. Yeah. And there's enough truck traffic that goes up and down, and it's only a 2-lane road, that the right side of the road is dented in and full of potholes. And in most vehicles, you go down there, and it's like it feels like you're riding on mogul, like a mogul hill type of thing, right? Well, in the Cadillac, I was going down that road a little bit above the posted speed limit, and it was, I might say it was like glass smooth, but it was like, wow, that's, you don't hardly even notice it kind of thing. But it wasn't like a slushy kind of handling or slushy kind of ride, because it actually
controlled.
Was reasonably sporty in through the corners. The motor is quite good, although it does have the characteristic Saab turbo lag in it.
Nothing. No, my God.
It literally was like, from idle to about 2,000. It was like, okay, and then all of a sudden the turbo spools up, and it was like, wow. So it had really good power. It was the all-wheel drive. It was top of the line, had pretty much every option in it. So it was like $55,000 or $56,000, but it was a
very nice car.
It was a nice car, good touch. You know, all the soft touch areas were nice. So the materials were good. It's a vehicle that, yes, it's $56,000, but you could see you don't get it and go, really, $56,000? You go like, okay, that seems like a fair price.
Well, that seems fair. A fair price today, given how expensive everything is.
Yeah, and I have actual video of Lola fitting in the back.
Well, always
an important thing for me is that my dog fits in the back. So,
yeah, very nice.
Yep.
But Jeff, was it Jeff?
Yes, Jeff.
Yes, it was.
I did want to say that if I've driven both of them, the turbo and the non-turbo, and I really didn't feel a difference.
Really?
Enough that I would spend the extra money on the turbo.
Because it's a 3-liter naturally aspirated six is just the base engine, right? And that's got to be pretty anemic in such a husky vehicle, because that's not a light car.
But, you know, I didn't really feel the difference.
Well, I mean, like in the Equinox and the Terrain, you the 4-cylinder and the 6-cylinder, you don't really feel much of a difference between those two and that, and that's not exactly a light vehicle.
Mm-hmm. So. It's the same architecture.
Is it?
I think they're all built in Mexico, or Zaroa Ripa or something plant.
No, the Equinox isn't built in Mexico.
No, I thought it was.
No, the
SRX is on the Theta Premium.
Ah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think remember that being in the same.
Well, whichever. Jeff, you were in something a little bit more attainable.
I was in something very mixed message-y.
Well.
The Honda CRZ.
Ew. What's your stance on that before he explains, William?
What?
The CRZ. You sound like a big fanboy of the car.
I'm not a big fanboy. I understand what it's aimed at.
And it aims very well, let me say. Like, I didn't like it when it came out. Just, it looks ugly. It looks like there's, like, 3 feet of front overhang. But in real life, it's a very small car.
Only a two-seat, right?
Right, it's only a two-seater. And if you keep it in sport mode, it is fun to drive. Like I kept considering it somewhere between a Civic and a Civic Si.
Really?
Yeah.
I find that very hard to believe.
Well, that's what I said.
By golly, that's hard to believe.
I was just reading a review on it yesterday, I think, and it said if it's in eco mode, it's like, don't bother.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can instantly feel the difference. Like, if you're driving and you put it in eco mode from sport, it numbs everything down. But that's the point. I mean, it's trying to get you to max out your fuel economy. But I think the thing that made it feel the best is the 6-speed manual.
It's Honda transmission, probably. Easy to shift.
Yeah.
Flick. Yeah. Okay, so it's not the steaming pile of disappointment we all expected, or at least you expected.
It definitely was much better than I expected.
How hybrid-y is it, though? I mean, can you actually drive it just on the battery, or is it like a
booster? I wasn't able to, but, you know, maybe that was just me trying to shift too much. I don't know. If you have it in eco mode, it does have a shift light that goes off at like 1,000 RPM to...
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh, you're at idle, upshift. Yeah.
But what that's set to do is it's supposed to give you identical fuel economy to the CVT that's optional. I did that for like 2 blocks. I'm like, this is boring.
So my Ranger with the air conditioning running could out-accelerate it, is what you're saying.
Yes, Nico.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, I was in something a little bit more desirable than that, I think. And I was in the Golf TDI with the 6-speed DSG. Love, love, love this car. It's awesome.
Is this the new Jetta?
I do believe it is the new Golf, yes.
Oh, the Golf. Golf, not a Jetta. Okay.
Yeah, but it's the new body
Mark
style.
Mark 6 or whatever the hell it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, four-door or two-door?
It's a two-door hatch Golf.
Can you get it in a four-door?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you can.
You sure can.
I didn't get the Monroney with it. Got lost in translation, but I'm sure it's pretty expensive being a diesel and optioned up with the auto transmission.
25 grand, 26 probably. Grand.
But awesome diesel engine, terrific NVH. It's very smooth, very quiet.
And what was your mileage on your 90-mile round trip home and here?
In the 40s, 42.
Mm.
I mean, that's not being easy on it by no means. I was stomping on it because it's a quick little devil. It's got this big kicking the ass of torque way down low, and it just, you ride that till it upshifts at about 4 grand, and you just go. And that transmission is bam, 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 right through the gears. It's the dual clutch. It's awesome.
Speaking of bam, bam, bam.
Yes.
What about pebbles?
That's an inside joke for me and Zach.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, love the car. Cool. Great fuel economy. Surprisingly quiet and smooth for a diesel. I mean, you tell 99% of people it's a diesel, they'd be like, no, I don't believe you. It's just, it's that good.
Zach, do you want to tell us about your stories about the vehicle you had last week? Or was it 2 weeks ago now?
Are you speaking about the Jaguar?
No. Yeah, the Jag.
Yeah, sure, I can. Had a 2011 Jaguar XJL with the naturally aspirated 5.0 liter V8. You know, it's
five
difficult.
5 liter or 5 litre?
Either or.
It's America. It's a liter.
Merca. You know, it's an interesting car. I wrote in my review, which you can check out at autoblog.com, that my biggest qualm with a lot of these huge luxury sedans is that they all look alike. I mean, I know they have different personalities, you know, the A8 and the 7 Series and I mean, all that crap. But really, they are just the same flavor of the same crap. I mean, you can get different engine choices, but they all do the same things. They'll all massage your ass if they wanted to do that. They'll all have navigation and all this.
Acid exam, whatever.
Right. It's just the same freaking car, and the Jaguar is not.
Why is it not? Because it's unreliable?
No. No. It's considerably lighter. This car is about 200, and I think it's 250. It's over 200 pounds lighter than the equivalent 5 Series.
What about the Audi? That's all aluminium.
It is as well.
Yeah,
wouldn't the XJ be more appropriate to like a 7 Series and an S Class?
It would, and that's my freaking point, is that it's lighter than the shorter, smaller 5 Series, which is pretty interesting. Car is huge. I mean, you just have ridiculous. It's the L, so it's a long wheelbase version.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have, I mean, ridiculous amounts of leg room in the back. It's surprisingly fun to drive to be this big and to have that long of a wheelbase. It has a dynamic mode that makes it, I wouldn't say flingable, but I mean, typically when you're driving a car this size, you expect a good amount of body roll, and that just didn't happen with this car.
It hunkers down in the corners.
I like how the instrument gauges change color when you put it in the sport mode or whatever.
Dynamic mode, yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty neat little tricks. I love the big aeronautical air vents. I've had a bunch of people say they look kind of chintzy, but I dig them. Maybe I'm chintzy.
What's the damage? What's it cost?
Mine, the one that I drove was $85,700.
You can buy a house.
I think I'd rather have the car than a house.
Well, yeah, but again, what's a 7 Series?
I know it's all comparable.
Like by the time you get through with, you know, the BMW or an Audi, you're 90 or above, which you don't think of saying that a Jaguar is an excellent luxury value, but it really is.
You enjoy that Bowers & Wilkins stereo?
It's the jackass that had it before me blew one of the speakers.
Oh.
How was it, like 1,100 watts or something?
Yeah, it's enough to turn your brain to jelly.
It seems to have worked.
Yeah, it's true. I will say that car did allow me to do something that I can nearly, with 100% certainty, tell you that no other human in the history of the human race has ever done.
Okay.
Got Craig a date?
I was waiting for that. What did you do?
No, that's more impossible. I parked this car, a 2011 Jaguar XJL, in the same garage as a 78 International Scout Terra.
That's
together?
Impressive.
Which I, yeah, together. In the same garage. So I'm fairly certain that has never happened before in the history of our species.
Probably not.
I may be wrong, but I seriously doubt it.
How does it feel to be such a groundbreaker, Zach?
Good.
I can imagine. You've got your ass massaged by the car. So
yeah,
very nice.
Ow.
But moving right along, we can...
But moving right along.
With that, we can move on to highway hearsay.
Warning. Warning.
Ben, Incoming message.
Incoming message.
Say it right.
So loud.
Round the phone.
That's right.
It's news to me that that's what it's called, so...
It's our new patented roundaphone.
It's the Pantagram 5 phone.
Hello? Hello? Hello, maybe if I unmute you, I'll be able to hear you. Hello?
Hey, guys, I always love
Hello.
The best show on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Anyways, I want to know, do you think that General Motors will come up with a competitor for the Boss Mustang? Boss 302 with the Camaro. If so, could they do it with just 19-inch rims, lightweight rims, a little smaller tire, maybe drop a couple of pounds here or there with a hard shell back seat? No cushions, you know, shell for emergencies anyway. Might as well just put a couple of seat belts back there and a hard shell, lightweight seat for the back seat. Anyway, just some ideas. Drop 100 pounds. Maybe put an air, what is it, a cold air intake in there and get 440 horsepower easy. And it would be a cool competitor.
It would be
a Anyway, cool. Give me your thoughts. Talk to you soon.
It's called the Z28. It's coming out next year.
Thank you, Mr.
Can
Brown.
Can we replay that? Was he talking about a hard shell rear seat?
Hard shell tacos he was talking about.
Tacos sound good.
He was talking about the hard shell rear seat.
No, too. I was just saying that because he said it like three or four times.
The hard shell seat.
Way too alien. You and Mud Monster are just being incendiary tonight.
That's all I am in real life, okay?
Oh, that's right. You are here in real life.
Yeah. Thank you.
Eric, the Z28, I think that's going to be more of a GT500 competitor, you know?
Oh, that's right, because they're doing the 556 supercharged motor, right?
Yeah, the LSA from the Cadillac.
I'd rather the Boss than the GT500, I think. I like
really?
That high speeding, naturally aspirated.
When I saw the Boss, I was like, a couple days ago, I was really unimpressed with it.
The only thing that's wrong with the Boss, and Michelle and I had this conversation earlier today, is if you have it with the red trim, whatever that lip is around the grill looks like really bad.
Yeah, that's one of my big problems with that. The other one, the one that was they showed the black and red, I thought that doesn't look really that well.
The blue and white looks really good.
The blue and white, yes. The blue and white.
And actually,
the
silver and red looks good again if you could get rid of the silver stuff around the grill. But
I hope they do like the orange and black myself is what I want to see.
And you two sound like your interior designers on Bravo.
Oh, my God. Mood Monster. Now you know where he gets it from.
Fabulous.
Eric is silent.
He's just like, wow, what happened?
But, you know, they advertised the Boss 302 at 440 horsepower. But didn't somebody, maybe it was Autoblog, dyno the stock 5.0, and it was at 435 or something?
No, that was inside line.
Yeah.
Was it? Okay. So, I mean, obviously Ford has underrated it, but what is the 302 and the Boss making? Is that going to be 500 horsepower?
It's probably...
Damn close.
Realistically, it's probably 460. Because they have different cams in it, differently, and a different intake in it.
Higher red line, speeds
and it's got lighter pistons, I believe, and I think it even has lighter connecting rods. So, yeah, I mean, you can buy the regular 5.0 motor as a great motor for $7,000, which all things considered isn't a bad deal.
It's a damn fine deal. Yeah.
So there you go, Jonathan Brown. The answer, a definitive maybe. I mean...
Well, the thing is, Chevrolet's going to have to do a whole lot more than lose a couple hundred pounds out of the Camaro to make it keep up with the thing, you know?
Maybe a ton. That would help.
Yeah.
I don't think they're really going to have to. I think once they come out with the Z28 and the convertible,
well, I like the Challenger, though, the way it is. Right
their now. Sales will be able to keep up with the Mustang, no problem. I don't think they'll have to come out with cars like this.
We'll see.
Probably true.
Either way, none of us will be able to afford any of them or the fuel. So, sad trombone. And now it's time for.
Oh, Highway Hearsay, Tales from the Open Road.
Highway Hearsay is all about what we've seen out on the road, from weird sightings to the stupid things people do. And this week we've got a tale from one of our hugest fans. Well, not fat, but really exuberant. Bill. Bill Childers. Wild Bill on Twitter.
A little chubby, but thank you.
I didn't want to point fingers. I didn't want to point fingers.
I'm just built like a beer keg is all.
Michelle likes it that way, I've heard.
Let's not start, Craig. We're going to get everybody in trouble.
Oh, so on a less awkward note, you own a Pontiac G8 GXP, I understand, right?
That's correct. And Michelle turned me on to the car when I was looking for an SS Camaro and discovered the seat was too small in the back. Mm. And she pointed me towards the G8 and the rest is history.
Double entendres.
This is a fun story, I gotta say.
Oh, just wait. I'm full of fun stories.
He's married and has two kids.
But that doesn't mean he can't...
No, it doesn't mean
Do you know what that means, Craig?
Oh, Zach.
Sorry.
Ann and Will are two different things, Craig.
That's true. That's very true.
So you got the car. It's an awesome car, obviously, G8 GXP. But what happened?
Here's the story. I've had the car about a year. And in case you don't follow me on Twitter, I'm one of the chairmen of the Gilroy Garlic Festival. Think of it like a giant fair.
We can smell you through the microphone here.
It smells good.
That's not garlic you're smelling, Craig.
Oh, God. Oh. Somebody hasn't washed in a couple days, if you know what I mean.
I pull into the festival, and I've got to dodge some people because I'm actually going through an area where people are walking. And I'm heading for the administrative trailer, and I park, and I get out of the car, and a guy and his wife walk up. And it's pretty obvious that both of them are pretty well-to-do. They're, you know, a little more upscale clothes and stuff. We're out in the middle of a field regardless.
Were they wearing top hats?
Not top hats. Not quite that upscale. We're not talking like Planters, Peanuts, Mr. Peanut. Upscale. Anyway, the guy walks up and goes, "Is this car what I think it is?" And I go, "I don't know. What do you think it is?" And the first thing I think is, oh, crap, that I almost run over these guys because I did, you know, pull through people. But he goes, "No, this is the G8. It's got the Corvette engine in it, right?" I said, "Yeah, it does." And he looks at me and he goes, "I want one. How do I get one?" I tell him, "I'm sorry, you can't get one. Pontiac is gone. They stopped production on all this stuff. They only made like 1,800 of these, and that's all they're ever going to be." And he looks at me again, and he goes, "How much do you want for it?" And
awesome.
I had one of those Matrix moments where everything kind of slows down. And I the first thing that pops into my head is...
Cha-ching!
Well, yeah, cha-ching, but I've got to replace this car with something. What's the first car that pops into my head that I could replace it with is the CTS-V.
Eric's truck.
Yeah,
so
boy.
Now I need a car, and I'd have to say a dollar amount that fits, so I just, out of my mouth flies $70,000. And I think, there's no way this guy's going to bite. And he looks at the car, and he looks at me, and he goes, "I can do that."
Oh, my God.
And my heart just went, ooh. And the next thing
you went,
he loves the car. He loves the car.
I do love the car, but I mean...
CTS-V is easier to love. Come on.
Well, here's the thing, Craig. My wife was out of town, and the next thing I think is, I have to explain to Kelly how I am, why I'm going to the Cadillac dealer at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday to buy a CTS-V with her not around. That's the first thing that popped into my head. Anyway, I'm looking at the guy, kind of my jaw agape. And his wife looks at him and hits him and goes, "You idiot. There's no way you're paying $70,000 for a used Pontiac." And it looked like he shot his dog. And he looks at his wife and he goes, but you don't like the Z06 and you say the Ferrari's too loud. Look at all the room you could have. You could take it to the store. You could take your girlfriend
Did you start selling it? Well, look right over here, ma'am. It's got these special low-profile tires and 19-inch wheels.
Airbags. It has at least one airbag.
There's air conditioning. VIN etched in the windows. It's ready to go.
You know what?
Drive it home now. No credit. No bad credit. No problem.
The effort to explain to my wife the whole story and replace the car was sinking in, and I kind of just you know, let them bicker a little bit and stepped aside, which probably wasn't the smartest move I could have done. But let me tell you, it was surreal to have that happen. I've pulled into places where a Ferrari's been and a guy gets out of his car and goes, holy cow, you know, and it's always weird to have that happen, especially a guy in a $100,000 or $200,000 car look at this, you know, GM product and kind of drool on it. But to have somebody actually offer me money, that's the first time that's happened, and it was definitely a strange experience.
Well, that is awesome.
What you should have said is that the car isn't used, it's pre-owned, is what you should have said.
Certified pre-owned.
It's well-owned.
Well-owned.
It sounds like this guy's wife and Jessica Gottlieb's husband should get together because they have this thing about loud cars that have no bit that you know, like the CTSV was too loud, a Ferrari is too loud.
Give your husband the gussied up Prius. And...
CTSV is too loud,
according to Jessica Gottlieb's husband.
That's a quiet car too. I drove one a few months back. It was so quiet. I was like, what the? I can't even hear the exhaust. So I don't see how anybody could find that too loud.
Anyways.
Yeah, sidetrack. But
you need long.
I think to hang on to this car. I think, Bill, you need to write this off as, like, you own it. And you're going to own it for a really long time.
I don't plan on getting rid of the car for what it's worth. I mean, if somebody wants to pay a way inflated price, everything has a price, like, but I'm not actively looking to sell it either. It is a nice car. It's my one indulgence. I drive – you guys are going to be sick. I put 80 miles a day on the thing at a minimum. I drive the wheels off of it, and I'm grinning the whole way. Yeah. So can't complain.
Well, you know, I was there for – it was probably a challenge to get your wife to let you to buy it the first time around, let alone trying to explain to her why you have a CTSV, right?
That's actually a really cool story, too. She was more in favor of it than I was, which I'm just dumbfounded to this day about it. We went to go look at G8s. We looked at Camaros, and she agreed the back seat was too small. I test drove a GT and liked it, and then she goes, are you going to test drive this GXP, the big one they've got? That's the one that your friend on Twitter said that was cool. And I said, yeah, but it's more money, and 360 horsepower is plenty. I don't need 415. And she goes, you're going to kick yourself if you don't drive it. So I drive it with her and the kids in it, and I'm grinning like an idiot every time I shifted gears in the thing. And she just goes, you have to buy this car. You're an idiot if you don't buy this car.
Lucky.
God. Yeah.
Of course, I think someone else in it was like, oh, you don't – the V8's fine. You don't need the V10 in that Audi.
Have you driven – raise your hand if anybody else here has driven the Audi R8. Please. Who here has driven the Audi
R8?
Listen,
this guy.
This guy right here on several occasions.
I
got my hand out. No one's calling on me.
Okay.
Put it near the microphone.
I think he just fell on the stairs.
Jeff, you okay?
So you've driven the R8, Jeff.
Can we call 911 or something at this
point? No,
rate?
Just hang up on him. He'll be fine. Jeff,
that's why he has a dog.
You drove the R8, huh?
Yep.
And what was your stance on it?
It was too loud.
Yep.
Jeff, I think you knocked your mic out of sync there or something. It's pretty quiet.
We can barely hear you.
Am I better now?
No.
Keep talking. Okay. Keep talking.
Yeah, it'll adjust.
There you
Stop
go.
Talking, Michelle. Stop talking.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought I broke my headset.
But, guys, moving right along, I think it's time to move on to our last segment for the show, which is Meet Your Roadmates. Driving that Jeep Liberty next to you. Why do Nissan Sentra owners always work at Coney Island? Why do they? Meet Your Roadmates answers these burning questions and more. Ben, what's our first vehicle this week?
And Bill, you can join in on this game we like to play since you're on the line.
Thank you very much.
All right. So I will start my supercomputer and it will pick at random three vehicles. Here we go. Damn it. Third time's a charm.
Primer bulb, Ben.
Yes, I always forget that. All right, so here we go. Choice number one is a 1983 Toyota Tercel. Wagon.
Wow.
Who drives a 1983 Toyota Tercel SR5 wagon?
I don't know.
I'm going to say the guy at the junkyard who like cruises the lot. You know how they always have like a lot vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it's probably that guy.
I would say it's my cousin because he had one of these.
Oh, this thing. God, I forgot about it.
Yeah, I would say my cousin because he had one of these and used to drive it up around the farm just because we used to have back trails and stuff, and he was happy they had the four-wheel drive and stuff.
Wow. Did the boxer engine explode?
No, the body pretty much was so rusted that, you know, panels started to fall off of it.
That's my favorite kind of rusty.
Well, it's only like he only paid like $10 for it, so.
Well, that's hell. I'd buy two at that price.
Bill, what do you buy a Toyota for that?
Bill, who do you think drives one of these things? These abominations?
Oh boy, it looks like I can't even begin to go. It's either a mom who's wearing Birkenstocks all the time, or someone working at Taco Bell or something.
Eric, who drives this car?
I would think that the only place you'd find one of these cars is down in Juarez or someplace like that. So, a traditional resident of Juarez, Mexico.
See, I think either a guy with spray painted shoes. Or a middle-aged hippie woman would drive one of these. Because when I worked at Enterprise Rent-A-Car in college, I had to
pick up
this woman. Exactly. I had to drive her back to the repair shop because they're like 1984 or 1986 Honda Civic wagon was in for some work, and she had named it George. And she's like, oh, there's my car! Woo! She's looking crazy. I swear. She turned down several offers from different people to buy the thing from her, and she refused. It was bizarre. So that's who drives one of those. What's the next vehicle, Ben?
Let's see. And it is... Ooh, it picked one for you, Craig. A 1948 Mercury Coupe.
Ew.
Ew.
Not this kind of Mercury.
Oh.
Fan.
Well. You missed it by a couple years there.
Like 1 year, in fact.
Wow.
It's the fat fender.
For this price, I think the guy's going to keep driving it.
Definitely.
Mm.
Well, this is a middle-aged white guy probably drives one of these. I mean, my guess.
It looks like he's going through like a midlife crisis with the paint color he's chosen.
Which
looks like he got the idea from like pouring out like his French's mustard onto a sandwich.
I could really go for a hot dog right now.
But the for sale sign matches the color of the car.
It does.
Wow. Wild Bill, who drives one of these things?
My uncle. I'm serious. That's a twin of the car he's got. It's not the car, but it's really close.
Does it have all the same mods or?
Yeah, no, it's in the weeds. It's got the right. The color's right. It's my uncle's car. It looks like it's got a tilt wheel in it and power seats. I mean, we're talking late 60s guy who's from Tennessee. That's my uncle.
Zach, would you drive one of these?
Not
so much.
Probably not. Probably not done up like that. I would probably.
He doesn't like the color.
Well, that's
the color gets me more than anything, and I probably wouldn't do the interior like that. I would probably keep the interior stock, but I think that would be a fun car to screw around with, you know.
If it had the flathead,
I would probably put a 350 in there. I'll be honest.
It would look good with matte black and purple flames.
Yes,
you lost respect.
Yeah, I'd be alright with that. Gotta love the 350, man. I mean, it's just so cheap and easy. You know,
how did I lose respect?
Not you.
He was talking to me for doing the 350 instead of the flathead. You know what? I'd be happy to give you a flathead if it was mine, but eh.
We'll see. Ben, what is our final vehicle?
Here we go. Ooh, another 80s beauty. A 1987 Mazda pickup.
Ooh.
Who drives a 1987 Mazda pickup?
Eric.
Yeah.
Provided it weren't 1850.
I think, Eric, this would be considered an improvement over the Ranger.
Yeah. It's one color. It's a Monohue.
Well, it's an extended cab, which is the big win for me.
Manual trans, one owner, 148K, canopy, and two seats.
Sold. I would take this.
AC, four cylinder.
Sold.
Done.
That is
Eric's
an 80s.
Calling the number right now.
No. No, because it's in Iowa or someplace like that.
Pullman.
Pullman, Moscow. Oh, it's Idaho, I think.
Moscow.
Look at that interior is so 80s. With the steering wheel and the flesh colored plastic.
Yeah.
My favorite. Yeah.
Love the jump seats in the back. That's what gets me.
The death seats or something.
That's horrible.
I can't imagine.
Guaranteed
so
to shake your brain around like a
No, the car I'm looking at right now is a 19. Well, I just found this in Ann Arbor, 1995 Grand Cherokee Limited.
Well,
black.
Fancy that.
Anyways, sorry.
Well, yeah. So, Bill, who drives this?
That would be Jose from Jose's Landscaping Service.
Well, he
like
went there. He
the
went
back,
there,
right,
folks.
With their lawnmowers.
He went there, folks.
No, that's the guy who does my lawn, Jose. He drives one of those.
Well, now you know.
Do, 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 do.
And who put this in Roanoke Craigslist? Let's see. Oh, there you go. 47 Ford Coupe. $3,800. Very nice. Got the flathead. Was this you, Zach?
That was me.
Nice find. Nice.
There you go.
Fine. Well, here.
I keep sending these to you. You've never bought one. What's
well,
up with this?
You're going to hate me tomorrow when I pick up a treasure from the place that has treasures. So.
The army?
Well, not the army. This is a much more pricey treasure.
The gay bar?
No, it's not a lifetime of sin, Zach.
Ding, ding, ding.
Herpes is a treasure, Greg.
HIV is not a treasure to wear with pride, Zach.
Hold on to your butt.
Oh, that's appropriate, Ben. Wow, you got that up
that
in time.
That was good. That was pretty surprising.
No, you're going to hate me, Zach.
What are you getting?
I will post pictures tomorrow.
Oh, God. You just can't tell us now?
I'll tell you.
Tell us.
I'm going to be away from the computer all day tomorrow.
Okay, here. Let me cue this up in my browser. Right quick.
Which will crash shortly when he's typing the link in.
Yes.
If I have to look at the putt or the...
Now just hold your horses. Here.
I'm holding. This is the holding music.
All right. I got it. I'm pasting it into the chat room right now.
I can't go there. If I go to the chat, it's going to crash Chrome again. It's not three times.
All right. Hold on. Then are you on Skype? Go there. It's in the chat as well for you folk.
What the hell do you need one of these for?
I don't see what...
Did you click on the link, Zach? Come on.
Did you
I'll
click
it
on
you.
It? My God.
Come on, guys.
Oh, you suck.
Send that to me, Jeff, please, because it's not showing up anywhere.
I just sent it to you via Skype.
I don't see it via Skype. Not red.
No, it's in Google.
Thank you.
That would have made sense to do as well.
Oh, attaboy. Well done.
Thank
well
Christ.
But
done.
It's usually more accustomed to get something to work on before you get something to lift it with.
Yeah, but
it's
I mean, I got a
four-door Mercury.
This.
It's a four-door Mercury. It's a 1950. It's exactly what you want.
What?
Are you...
Original ones. There's a 1950 four-door Mercury with a flathead V8 locally here in Farmington Hills.
There you go, Craig.
And I even put it on Twitter for you the other day.
Very nice.
So are you going to put this lift inside or outside?
This is going inside my garage.
Okay, good.
That has 12-foot ceilings. You'll see. I think we'll do a little video and post it.
All right, sounds good.
This has a home, very expensive home that I've built.
You mean your parents built?
No, exactly. My father and I built it.
They paid for it, though.
I paid for it.
Eric. It doesn't seem like a wise investment.
It's not
your dad. There's a lift for you.
Happy birthday,
like,
Dad.
Yeah, sure,
I surprised you with this lift here.
I'll even help you put it in.
I put the link for the for that Mercury in our show notes, so if you want to look at that.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah.
Mystique even.
There you go, folks. That's just about it. And before we drag this out any longer, Jeff Ross, Autotropolis, thanks for joining us.
Just nothing.
Complete silence.
Then
I couldn't even come up with anything witty.
So you said something even more witty than humanly possible by not saying anything. And Zach Bowman, you've joined us finally after many weeks of absence.
Absence.
Exactly.
Yeah. Missed it, I'll tell you.
Theautoblog.com.
That's me.
What are you working on besides like 50 stories a day?
Well, that's pretty much it. Should have a review of the 2011 Ford Edge next week.
Nice.
That should go live. And eventually, if I ever get the drag link for the International, the Tale of Wanton Woe that does the story of acquiring the International.
That wasn't a wise investment.
It will be. It's just the process of getting it wasn't quite as seamless as I had hoped.
Okay.
Put that way.
So that has to wait till it's running for the story to run?
Yeah, I need to photograph it. They want full photos of it, and right now it doesn't really... I mean, I could drive it. Yeah, I just couldn't steer it, so...
Steering. You get out and kick the tire when you need to.
Yeah, it's pretty fine. Much individually.
Well, real good. We'll look for your Edge review in the coming days, weeks. We'll check that out when it posts on the Autoblog. Michelle Naranjo had to leave us prematurely. She was having internet connectivity issues. So MissMotormouth.com is where you can find all of her stuff. Also on Twitter, twitter.com/, I believe, MissMotormouth. Eric Tritko, Rumblestrip. Blog.webridestv.com.
No, just webridestv.com these days.
Oh, they changed it?
Yes, they did.
God damn it.
As we've been discussing for the last few weeks. Also, rumblestrip.net, and yes, twitter.com/rumblestrip.
Very good. And last but, well, not last, William Malley.
This is going to be a mouthful.
Real Mud Monster on Twitter.
Real Mud Monster on Twitter, yep.
Do you do something on the auto?
I do stuff on the Autobod. Das Autobahn, yes.
Autobahn with Marco Reinhardt.
Yes, yes.
You're going to fall to bed after this?
Fall to bed.
Yes.
So what are you working on?
Hopefully this week Colin sends me the numbers so I can do the by the numbers segment.
Where does he steal those from?
I don't know, but he better get them to me hopefully within the next 2 weeks or we're going to be in the next month at this rate.
He can be pretty lackadaisical at times.
Yeah, pretty much. I deal with him on a daily basis, so I know about these things. Sorry, Colin. I know you will be calling my eyes out shortly.
He's busy dealing with a job that actually makes money.
Well, yeah, I do too. I mean, you can also find my works at gmauthority.com. I've been writing there now for a couple months, and that's actually the place where I get paid too. Which is amazing. Also, I got one more thing to plug. Hopefully, by next week, I should have my own blog up. So.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, this should be... Wait for all the misspells to happen here.
Scarifying.
Hopefully, you're not using Squarespace?
No, I'm not using Squarespace. I'm using
something
else. Good
for
you. WordPress.
Not using WordPress.
Movable type.
No, not movable type either. Stop guessing.
You could just tell us.
The website is mudslingmonster.com.
Oh, well, let's check.
I haven't got it. It's just right now, just a page right now. There's nothing really on it. So.
Yep, there it is.
Yep, so hopefully by next week I should have some posts going up there. It'd be where some of my Auto Bird, some of my GM Authority stuff will appear, and some of my...
Tumblr.
Yeah, and some of my other stuff will come in, too. Some of my own personal
stuff.
Well,
very nice. We will look forward to that. Real Mud Monster on Twitter.
Yep.
And last but not least, the last, literally, this time, Bill Childers, a.k.a. Wild Bill.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
He was unmuting you.
Apparently.
I did, actually, because I am at work, unfortunately, people out here on the left coast.
You guys work out
there?
It's
just 5 o'clock, and we're still in the middle of figuring things out here. But you can find me on Twitter at Wild Bill. I've got a blog that's seldom read at wildbill.nulldevice.net. I'm also a virtual editor for Linux Journal Magazine. If anybody's into nerdly stuff, feel free to check out Linux Journal.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us and putting up with our crap for the...
Hey, anytime.
Highway hearsay. That was a great story.
Anytime you want to invite me back, I'll be happy to come back.
Definitely. We'll have to do that. So wrapping things up here, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week, including links.
and among other things, show notes. You can give us a call on our Google Voice number, just like Jonathan Brown did. That's 1-559-ROAB-411. Again, 1-559-762-2411. Follow us on Twitter. Do the twitter.com/roundaboutshow or Facebook as well. That's facebook.com/roundaboutshow.
Facebook us!
Subscribe to the podcast in the iTunes Store or the Zune Marketplace if you wish. And that just about brings us to a close for this week's show. So thanks to all of you out there listening. And please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. Catch you later. Good. All right, well, coming up after the break, we'll get to this a little bit later, we're going to have a very special edition of Highway Here, so we've got a very special guest joining us, and you especially will not want to miss this.
Especially.
Especially.
Super special.
How about that especially?
Was that good, or you want something else?
I don't know. That works for me, unless you want to try something else.
Knock off a few especialies, and we got it.
Especially.
That made it funny.
It's a short bus special.
So coming up after the break, we're going to have a very special edition of Highway Hearsay. We have a guest joining us out in California who has a very amazing story about music. did you want to finish or you just drag this out?
Just digging around, I'll be honest. I'm going to be up late anyway.
So coming up after the break, we're going to get to a very special edition of Highway Hearsay. Digging your own grave, Ben.
I know.
Digging your own grave. Meow.
Meow.
Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Don't be a scragglepuss now.
Meow.
Scragglepuss. Oh, God. Out of the
you guys. Burp.
Down to the lobby. That's good.
Hit it, Jeff.
Jeff.
Go on.
Meow.
Meow.
From Jacksonville, right. Florida, I'm...
Start again.
Alex Trebek.
Hold on, my f***ing... Oh, this is awesome. Chrome just crashed on me, of all the...
Chrome, because you're a douchebag. Why are you using Firefox? All righty, Ben, if you are recording...
Which
on
I
the
am.
Stream and on your laptop, I do believe we can get started.
Wait, let me ask the people in the chat room real quick. How's the audio? It looks like I'm sorry.
Drag it
is
out.
Is there anything else that we could possibly waste time on? Because I'd love
audio
to do
okay?
That.
Yes. Audio okay? Audio okay?
Chat guys, you want to help us out there? Anything else?
Hurry,
anything
quick.
Else? What's your favorite color? Go.
Audio is perfect. Good.
Blue. No, green.
Ah. Red. Orange. Right.
Okay, ready.
Glad.
Let's not go back.
All right,
to
guys, come on. We gotta get started.
I can't see the damn rundown.
Yeah, if Firefox just crashed on me, give me a second. I'll get it up.
God damn, that's what she said.
And we have an outtake. Hold on.
Wow.
I think
it was a cat meowing while choking or something.